We thank God for the opportunity to be here in Cherokee and a chance to fellowship with you. You know, the beautiful thing about being in Cherokee at this time, we're not just here for a meeting. We haven't just come here to hold a meeting. A lot of places that we've got invitations that we could hold meetings and have a good time in the Lord. So it isn't that we're here for that purpose. Even though we are here to hold a meeting and to win souls and to fellowship, make new friends in the gospel, and try to do whatever we can for Christ. But there's a unique thing about the ministry that we've been given of God, and that is that we have been called into the deep, hidden mysteries of Christ. And the gospel, as far as the gospel, is a very simple thing. It's not hard to understand the gospel. The Bible teaches the simplicity of the gospel. Just to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. So come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's a real simple, down-to-earth thing just to become a Christian. So we don't want to misconstrue anything concerning the simplicity of the gospel, because it's not hard for you to find Christ. It's no mystery to try to find the Lord Jesus. But when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the wonderful things of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that is a great mystery. It is so exceedingly great. The Bible speaks of it like this, that great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am made a steward of the mysteries. And I've been privileged to do that. In my early ministry, I discovered some things in Christ. I discovered a revelation here and there, one or two things that thrilled my soul. And I began to realize that there was something for the church, but I had never gotten into it. I say this a lot of times in meeting the public, that they might understand what I'm saying. I have read the Bible carefully like any Bible scholar, any preacher. If he's a real, genuine, God-called preacher, he's a Bible scholar. And so far as reading the Bible, I read the Bible, read it through numbers of times, read the New Testament through many times, over and over and over and over. And have read it through on my knees, because I thought that was a good thing to do. And might prove my concern about it. But I read the Bible. I preached the gospel across the nation, all across the different parts of the nation. I did everything that a minister usually does. I fasted. I done without my food. Sometimes I done without food and water. You know, as it was in the days of Esther, 3 days there without food or water, that she went seeking the Lord to find favor with God, and so did the people in her behalf. And I've done that. I've done those things and prayed, sought the Lord, sometimes prayed all night long. I'm sure numbers of you probably prayed all night long and seen the sun come up. Prayed all night long. I knew what it was to go out into the woods, down into the deep woods all by myself, get away from everybody as far as I knew, and just be by myself all night long, just alone with the Lord Jesus, talking to Him, trying to find His favor. There, stay all night. But, you know, with all of that, I still did not know there was such a thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though I had read it in the Bible where John spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it just had never dawned on me as to what he was saying. I had read where Paul, the apostle, had spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it still had not dawned on me. Even when Paul spoke of a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him because of his much revelation, it still did not dawn on me what he was talking about. Never having been exposed to anything like that, I'd never been taught or tutored by anyone anything like that, so I just didn't know. And then one day, the Lord began to speak with me, and he said, I want to reveal something to you. And I thought, well, that's wonderful, you know. You know, I just like any minister, I thought, well, go ahead. I'm waiting, Lord, you know. I want to hear it. But he began to talk to me and say, son, you don't understand. And I thought, you know, I thought in my heart, what is it I don't understand? I've traveled all over the nation. I preached the gospel, and I've fasted, and I've prayed. And, you know, what is it I don't understand? I thought, sure, I understood. I would have disputed with most anybody in just a minute. And said, well, sure, I understand. But, you know, I learned what the scripture means when it says, when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. And I thought I knowed something, and I quickly learned that I didn't know something I ought to know. And the thing that I needed to know was I didn't really know nothing when it come to understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I say that, I don't mean the simplicity of a gospel, because as I say again, I did understand the simplicity of the gospel. I was preaching, having revivals, people was being converted, people was being healed. But I want to say this again, that there is hid within the Holy Scriptures a great, wonderful thing for the church. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of mankind at any time, those things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But the Bible said He hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit. When you say revealed it unto us by His Spirit, we're saying that He hath made it revelation unto babes, such as are willing to learn. So I begin to understand something. And one of the things I began to understand was this. Paul the Apostle said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. I thought about the spirit of revelation. And I thought, now the spirit of revelation, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And I thought, now, what he must be talking about is them people that are sinners out there, they need to get straight and they need to get the spirit of understanding, you know. And I tried to satisfy myself with that, and then I realized how foolish that was. And the Lord spoke to me, and I thought, Lord, why, you couldn't give them people the spirit of revelation. They don't even have a born-again experience. So you could not possibly be talking about those people. Then I said, you must be talking about the church, that the church should pray for the spirit of revelation. And then I thought, well, you know, how can the church pray for the spirit of revelation? They've already got God. You know, they've already got all they need. But I come to learn that you can have eternal life and you can be a Christian, but there are gifts in the church. You'll agree with that, won't you? There are callings in the church. You'll agree with that. So you could be a Christian and not have one of the calling of the fivefold ministry, though you would have a call from God unto eternal life. And you could be a Christian and not have the gift of healing, or maybe the gift of miracles, or maybe you wouldn't have a gift at all other than the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, and that would be eternal life. And of course, that's because you don't understand. So I thought, well, if that's true, then there must be something called the spirit of revelation that you're wanting me to get a hold of. And I began to talk to God about the spirit of revelation. And something happened in my life like I never dreamed of. I never dreamed there was any such thing anywhere that was so beautiful and so astounding and so magnificent that gave one the ability to comprehend eternity and to comprehend from the beginning to the end and from the bottom to the top. And I got a hold of something that Paul spoke of, and I began to understand what he was saying. He said, pray that you might have the Spirit, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. And I thought, my God, what in the world is he talking about? But you know what? When I got into this, I realized that the depths are so exceedingly great, and the heights are so exceedingly great, and the width and the length of this great thing is so exceedingly great that the church is barely touching it. So I began to understand. And then for a number of years, brothers and sisters, God spoke to me. And He has unveiled and He has unraveled His wonderful masterpiece until my heart is literally filled up and overflowing. Paul spoke of His abundance of revelation. Truthfully, I can say it from the bottom of my heart without the slightest bit of exaggeration that God has abundantly filled my heart to the full and to the overflowing of the wonderful hidden mysteries of Christ. I didn't know what He meant when He said, "Now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. Even that wisdom under the heavenly places is now made known to the church." I couldn't understand that. But I came to realize, and I hope you don't mind me just talking with you tonight a little bit like this, because this is the first night we're here, just to kind of get acquainted. But I come to realize that He had given us a mind called the mind of Christ. Whereas the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He didn't seek after reputation, but He didn't think it strange to be equal to God, in that the Bible said that everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And He tells us in the Word to go on to perfection, to go on to a full reward. I didn't know there was such a thing as a partial reward. Let us go on to a full reward. And then He said, "Let us go on to be perfect." And He said, "Let everyone that be perfect be thus minded." Now I begin to try to unravel these things and understand them. And I eventually came to the place to where I received the mind of Christ and entered into His rest. The Bible speaks of a rest for the people of God, and the Bible teaches that everyone that has entered into this rest has ceased from his own work. And I didn't know what that was for years. I was just like troubled water. Problems. I couldn't rest at nothing. Though I fasted and prayed and preached and done everything, I know that I still like troubled water. But I found out what He meant. I got the revelation, or I received the revelation of the rest. And then I knew what it was all about, and I knew how to enter into it, and I entered into His rest. And it's been a wonderful experience since that time. My cup is filled up and overflowing. I may come here tonight, and I may not speak anything much, just a few simple things as concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because out on the field a lot of times you have babes in Christ, and the Bible said, for them to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they might grow thereby. And a lot of times I don't say too much about the deep mysteries of Christ, but there's occasions where the atmosphere is right, the people are concerned, and they're hungry, and they're really wanting to know if there is such a thing, and they're searching and looking. And the Bible said, "The Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things." And I find that sometimes these things come forth. Maybe sometimes fragmental. One or two little things will come here and one or two little things will come there. Somebody will be hungry and God will say one or two things and it'll stir hearts and they'll get more hungry, more interested. So it could be that maybe He'll say one or two little things along as we talk to you. But I just want you to know that there is something for the church. And I hope you don't, you know, sometimes you can lose your audience pretty quick. There's nothing like people. How many agree there's nothing like people? There's nothing like people. You know, people are very, very strange sometimes. They're wonderful. There's nothing like them. They're wonderful. They're so wonderful that the Lord God Himself came down, veiled Himself in a body of humanity to die, spill His blood, and to suffer to preserve them. They're so wonderful. But I tell you what, they're so unusual. They're so unusual. You can say one thing, and if it don't line up with what they think or what they've been taught, I tell you, they're just like the chaff. They're gone. And they don't give you a chance to explain. They say, "Bless God, that's not God. That's not right. I don't believe it. I've been doing this for 10 years, and that ain't right." You know, and they're gone. I mean, they're gone. And they're kind of strange sometimes. It just depends on what they've been taught. You know, you go into India, which we do, you get into the foreign countries and you kind of get acquainted with people better. You get over there and you learn that there's another God outside of the Lord Jesus, you know, so far as they're concerned. And you travel around the different parts of the world like we have, and you find yourself getting involved in some conversation with all kind of people. I mean, all kind of people. And you find yourself talking about everything from Muhammad to Confucius. And you know, you get to talking about Allah and some of the foreign gods. You think, my, anybody ought to know better than that. Here's a bright, brilliant man. And I mean, they're brilliant. Some of them are extremely brilliant. You know, we think of them as a bunch of dumb, isn't it? A bunch of half-wits, and we think, well, they don't know nothing. You know, that's the way people think. But you get over there, and to your utter amazement, they're some of the most polished scholars in all of the world. And they are so brilliant, so brilliant. And you talk to them, and you think, well, this just can't be. Here's a man that is so brilliant, never met anybody any more brilliant, and yet he's so ignorant when it comes to God. He's talking about Allah. He's talking about Confucius or some other something, you know, and you think, my, how can anybody be so ignorant as to not to know that Jesus is our God, you know, that we worship Jesus? But then you stop and think, folks, and you realize that that God to them is just as realistic as Jesus is to us. From the time that they are born into the world, their little hearts and minds as a child, it's indoctrinated to believe that that's God Almighty, that He made everything. Whatever He says is right, and that's the way it is. And when you go to talk to them about Jesus or anything else, it's so foreign to them until they just don't know what you're saying. Some of them don't even understand what you're saying at all. And it's shocking to even go over into the land of Israel. You get into the land of Israel. I thought when we went there, you know, I thought, now here we go, we talk about Jesus. Now this is the land of God here. And we'll talk about Jesus, but I found out I had a strange doctrine when I got to Israel. When I started talking about Jesus, you know, they shied away. And now they'll talk about God. In India, they'll talk about God. If you want to get a mutual subject, just get to talking about God. Talk about God. Just don't use no names and you're all right. You know, you can talk about God all you want to. Talk about God in India. Talk about God anywhere you want to. Talk about God over in Israel and they'll talk about God. And they'll keep talking about God. But now when you go to name your God, you're in problems. You're in problems because they've already got a name for you. And you've really got a problem. And I was so shocked, you know, when I got over there. And I remember Betty and I, we were over there at Christmas time. And I noticed while we were over there that I was just expecting a great Christmas celebration. I thought, this is the land of God over here. While these people, they're just going to have a celebration like you've never seen. And to my utter amazement, they just completely eliminated the celebration. And I saw two or three things happen as to a celebration, a minor celebration, and they had to do with something altogether different as to what I understood about the birth of our Lord Jesus. Folks, we ought to be thankful, you know. Even if we don't understand the mysteries of God, we ought to be thankful to be here in America and to love the Lord. Even though I admit, and I think you'll admit too, that in America right now, it's getting to where you can't do too much about naming God. They've got so many ideas about God and so many different gods here in America until it's getting to where it's a problem to name God. Now, how do you know that? Raise your hand if you know that. It's getting to be a problem. So I was telling somebody today, one of the Indian brothers down here met us, real fine man, and he said something about, I believe Brother Jerry said something about us, you know, loving the Lord, and he wanted to know, what was we? You know, it's nothing wrong with that, but it's just kind of a general theme among the people today. And they say, what are you, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or whatever? You know, and I told Brother Jerry, I said, you know, it's hard to get a hold of, Jerry, but people have gone by titles so long until no one knows what to do anymore when they ask what you are, except they call you by one of the titles. I said, just tell them we're Christian, Jerry. I said, you know, they just about ruled out the saying Christian, isn't that right? They first called them Christians at Antioch because they were Christ-like. And, of course, a lot of folks ain't Christ-like anymore, so they just call them by the title. They say, are you Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of God, or whatever, you know? And the terms Christians is hardly used anymore. I guess the Lord has suffered that because of the condition of the church world today. But I said all of them things to get around to saying something here, and we're going to change the order of the service a little bit in a few minutes. But I thought about it, you know, I thought, here we are Christians. What difference does it make whether we're Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian? You know, I said this a few days ago. My daddy was a Methodist. My mother was a Pentecostal, believe it or not. And my wife was a Baptist, staunch Baptist. And I got caught in the middle and found out I wasn't nothing. I tried to figure out what I was, and I couldn't figure out what I was. I thought, well, I ain't nothing. You know, and finally one day I came to know the Lord Jesus, and then I learned that they were called Christians. So I said, that's what I am. I can't be like my mama, and I can't be like my dad. I can't be like my wife. You know, if you can't be like your father and mother, then you start wondering, well, what am I going to do? So I thought, well, I can't be like my father. I can't be like my mother. I can't be like my wife, you know, because if I'm like one of them, I won't be like the other one. And I thought, Lord, what must I do? And then I got to thinking, I know what I'll do. I'll be different from all of them. I'll be a Christian. So that's the way I am. I don't know what you are tonight, but I might be different from all of you. I'm a Christian tonight. And then again, there might be some Christians here. I wonder if we've got any Christians. Would you raise your hand? Yeah, well, I'm not all that different. I can see that right now. Looks like we're a family. And looks like we've got some Christians here. All right. So just before I read, I want you to think on this for just a moment. I found out that this great, wonderful thing was for us. I learned that God had something for us, and it was wonderful. And I said, Lord, I hope you don't fly away on me now. How do you love the Lord? I keep feeling you out to see if you love the Lord before I say too much, you know. So, I said, God, I said, what's wrong with the church? I said, all these wonderful mysteries and all these wonderful things, and you've given them to the church, and yet the church hasn't obtained unto them. And I said, I know for surety, now that I have received them and understood them, that there's no way the church will ever be translated and taken out unless they get a hold of it. And I come to realize that's what was holding up the whole thing. Like a song I wrote one time, I was out in California preaching somewhere there. Wrote the song, I said, you know, you get to thinking about heaven, and I said, Lord, what's taking you so long to come after us? I said, my, it seems like you're taking so long. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, son, it's not me. He said, I'm ready. And he gave me a song. You know, whenever you get ready, I'm ready to go. And I learned that the thing that was holding us up was the people. And I thought, well, why don't they have these things? Now, why don't they have them? You've freely given them to us. The Bible teaches that God has given us all things that pertain unto life. And I thought, now, why haven't you given us these things, Lord? And I realized that he had, but that we have not been partakers of them because we've not taken any time with him to find out about it. And I realized that we're not partakers of them because we're so busy with the other things in life. Now, don't run away. Don't run away now. I've just been talking to you, but I'm liable to start preaching now. See, and I said, Lord, you know, a lot of folks call preaching meddling. That's a new definition they got for it. But anyway, I said, Lord, I said, what's the matter? Why is it that you're not giving us these things? I said, we need them. We want them. Why is it that we're not receiving them? And the Lord said to me, he said, the people are so busy, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. He said, they're so busy eating and drinking and marrying, and they're so given to passions and feelings and thrills of the human person and the human body. And they are so carried away with studying and learning, ever learning, never able to come to the truth knowledge or the knowledge of the truth. And he said, they're so busy with recreation with ball games and going to the beaches and doing the things of the world and watching TV and reading magazines and all of the things of the flesh, that they're so busy with these things that they have completely ruled me out of their lives, and that the zeal of their life has eaten me up. Somebody say praise the Lord. See if my audience is still with me. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, bless God, Brother Pike. You mean to tell me you expect me to be different from that? I'm talking about a full reward now. I'm talking about a full reward. How many of you like to have a full reward? You know, if I was going down to the beach, I'd want to do it upright, wouldn't you? And if I was going to a ball game, which I've done in my life numbers of times, you know, I have every reason to be a ball game lover, because I've said so many times, my uncle was at the top when it come to having the team and watching after them and making them great in the sight of the people. He was one of those fellers, you know, the kind of coach or the man that was in charge of the team. He was the one that made the team. I'm talking about big teams that play professional ball and this kind of thing. And my dad was a ball player. See, so I'd sit way up in the, what do you call it? Bleachers, way up in the little pen, they call it up there. Big, big fields, you know. And watch my dad, my chest would stick out because I thought he was really something. And he was my dad. But you know what? I've had a chance for fields of entertainment and things like that in the world. And it was great, and it is great, if you want to be in the world. Nothing wrong with it. You know, there's nothing greater than playing ball, and there's nothing greater than doing the things of the world, getting into the fields of athletes or the field of entertainment or whatever you want to do. There's nothing greater. If you want to be in the world, there's nothing greater. But I'm talking about where the Bible uses the terms, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. I'm talking about coming out like the prophets did and live a separated life, and like the apostles did and like the early church did. I'm talking about where the Bible uses the terms to meditate in His laws day and night. And where the Bible uses the term to lean not to thine own understanding, but to cast down imagination and bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about where Paul used the term that he was so steadfast in God and so given to the things of God until he said, it's not me living anymore, it's just Christ living. And said, I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. When you see me, you don't see me no more, you see Christ. I'm talking about that, folks. I'm talking about getting into this place to where God can reveal these hidden mysteries to us and give us something that we wouldn't give a flip out of our finger for a ball game. I'm talking about getting into something that's so heavenly and so wonderful, getting caught up into the third heaven. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love the Lord. Praise God. I think that's wonderful. Give God a hand, don't you? Amen. Makes me feel like I'm down in South America preaching. That's the way they do it down there. Hallelujah. It makes you feel religious, sure enough, don't it? So then, I'm speaking of getting into the wonderful things of God, coming into a place with God to where you're going to have so many things to do, and the things are going to be so exciting that the things of this world are going to be so old-fashioned until you wouldn't spend your time going after them. I'm telling you the truth. They're going to be so old-fashioned. You say, well, Brother Pike, what do you mean by this? Here's what I mean by it. Every one of you are headed somewhere. How do you agree that? Every one of you, you're heading somewhere. Now then, you say, well, where are we heading, Brother Pike? To the grave. How do you believe that? Raise your hand. Praise God, I can tell the way you react that some of you have made plans for another place. If you've made plans for another place, raise your hand. See, if you're not heading for heaven, you're heading for another place. Anybody know what that place is? So then it means that you are preparing for something. You're going somewhere. You're not going to stand still. You're going somewhere. You've got to admit you are a day older today than you was yesterday. Isn't that right? And you're a week older now than you was a week ago. And you're 10 years older now than you was 10 years ago. So that means that you're going somewhere, you're doing something, you're headed for some kind of a place, folks. And in that you are, then I think that it makes real good sense for us to make preparations for it. If I'm going to go to California, I try to make some preparations because that's a long trip. I've either got to catch the plane and go over there, or I've got to drive over there, but either way that I take as my transportation, I've got to make some kind of preparations, and I've got to have some kind of preparation before I get there, because it's going to cost me money to live in California. When Betty and I go overseas to the foreign countries, we have to make a preparation. So then if I know that I'm going somewhere, I need to make a preparation. Now I want to ask you this question. Does it make sense to you to all of your life give yourself to worldly entertainment and to worldly desire, to eat and to drink and to do the things of the world, and never give any time to God, never fast, never pray, never study your Bible, never conform to the gospel of Christ, never try to learn anything about that heavenly city or that spiritual world, never try to learn anything about it at all? See, just go on doing the things of the world, and all of a sudden death strikes. Death comes to your door. Something knocks on your door. Death comes to your door. All of a sudden it's there. You can't say, hey, wait a minute, I ain't ready. You can't say, well, I didn't make preparations. I didn't know he's coming so soon. See, you can't do that, can you? You can't say anything because he's there. He's there. Like I had a vision one time, and I remember this vision. I was standing, I'd walked into a little small area, just the room, small room there. I'd stepped into this room, and the door was right here. And I was standing there, and I was busy doing something. I don't know what I was doing. But all of a sudden, I turned. I heard somebody come in the door, and I thought, wait, it's night. He shouldn't be coming in. Nobody should be coming in my door at this time of night. I turned around right quick, and I thought, I better get out of here fast and find out what's going on, because the hall was right here in a little room here. And as I turned around, there stood a tall fella. He looked familiar, but I never did place him. Hair slicked tight to his head. He was standing there, and he was one of the most grim-looking people I ever seen in my life. Very sophisticated looking. And he said he stood right there in the doorway quicker than a flash. I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know? And I thought, well, I can't stay in here because he can close right in on me in this little room and that'll be it. Because I sensed death about it. And I knew he was up to no good. And he was such a strange fellow anyway. I never seen anybody like him. And all of a sudden I thought, I got to get out of here. And I got to get out of here fast. And I thought, the only way to get out of here is just run into you just like a football player. And I started toward him. And as I started toward him, I realized I'd done made a mistake. As I started toward him, all of a sudden, he turned into the Grim Reaper. And there he was. You know how that they draw pictures of him? There he was. He was death. And I thought, oh my God, I better call on the name of the Lord. And I said, Lord. And that's all I could get out. Jesus. My strength had gone. He absorbed every bit of my strength. And I was falling right headlong into him. I thought, oh my God, this is it. Death has come. Death is coming, I'm gone. Folks, when I come out of the vision, I noticed as I started to come out of the vision that he became like a doorway. And I just passed right through it. And I come out of the vision and I was healthy and whole. How do you know I was a happy fella? Amen. If you've never experienced that, if you ever do, you'll learn what a happy fella is. I was a happy fella. And I thank God for that tonight, because I know that we do have power over death. And the Bible tells us that we pass from death unto life because we have come to the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love the brethren as a proof of it. So then tonight we're heading somewhere, folks.
And it's bad to get right down to death's door and all of a sudden realize that all of your life you've done nothing but the things of the world, and you don't know nothing about the place you're going. You don't know nothing about spiritual things. You've never experienced spiritual things. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But seeing that you're babes in Christ, he said, I can't speak to you that way. He said, so you'll just have to desire the sincere milk of the word until you can grow, and then I'll speak unto you as unto spirituals. So tonight, I would just love to speak unto the people as unto spirituals. But we talk the way that we're talking tonight and talk about these things that we might be able to program the mind of the people with the thought and understanding that there is such a thing as spiritual things. Because the average church world doesn't even know there's spiritual things. When the preacher talks to them about spiritual things, so far as they're concerned, it's just what they've been telling them. It's routine. It's what they've been doing all the time. But I want you to know there's something holy. There's something wonderful. There's something godly. God's got something for you. First of all, you know God's got healing for you. How do you know that God's got healing for you? You know, I've been sick unto death many times in my life, but never has God ever failed to bring me out and heal my body and give me sound health and strength. Always he walked with me, no matter where I go. The foreign places, we go into places where people get sick, and I mean people die. But our body always stands up solid and good and strong, and God brings us right through it. We go down to Mexico, and they tell us, you can't drink this water, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, while we drink and eat just like we do anywhere else. And we stay solid, we stay healthy, we stay whole. Why? Because we believe in God. Faith is powerful, folks. Why are you here tonight? Isn't it because you believe in God? Isn't that why you come here tonight? Because you believe in God? That's why we're here tonight. I know the echo's it makes it a little hard for me to really turn loose and go here, because if I do, it's going to roll like thunder, you know. And it makes it hard because of the sound in here, the acoustics in here. But nevertheless, I'll probably get to going, you know, and get to rolling a little bit. I can't help it. You know, preacher, they get excited anyway. But the thing is, you did come here because you believe in God. And because you believe in God, you're sitting here listening to a preacher tonight. Some of you don't even know this preacher. You don't even know anything about me. But you come by faith to believe that something is going to take place. You come here to believe that God is going to do something here. And that you're going to hear something maybe that you've never heard before. But has it ever occurred to you that unless you give the preacher a chance to say something different from what you're used to, that you're never going to hear anything that you've never heard before? Has it ever occurred to you? You've got to give him a chance to say something. You can't be sitting on radio all the time and say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe it. You said it that way, but I don't believe it. That's not the way it is, because that ain't the way I think. That ain't the way I've been taught. See, if you take that outlook, what's the need of me trying to tell you anything? You're never going to learn anything. If I know anything, I could never tell you anything. If you know anything, you could never tell me anything if I think like that. So we'll never be any bigger than what we are. And our world will always consist of one thing, brothers and sisters. And that is the little computerized frame of mind that we have as to the way that we program our mind and whoever we've allowed to program our mind. And that will always be our world, because your mind is the world. How do you know that your mind is the world? You know, you've got a mind. I've got a mind. Everybody's got a mind. And that mind is the world. Jesus had a mind. And my, what a world that was. That's why God wants that mind to be in you and I. See what a world that is. But you've got your mind, and I've got my mind. And so then all of us has got a mind. See, and in my mind, why, it might be beautiful. While the birds might be singing, it might be a spring morning, I might be having a hallelujah time in my mind. But did you know in somebody else's world, it might be lightning, the lightning might be flashing, there might be fears, frustration, anxieties, all kind of terrors. They might be frightened within an inch of their life. In their world, it might be clouds and might be dismay. See, while in my world, it's a happy world. Everybody's got a world. And the thing that you want to do is enlarge your world. Hallelujah. Enlarge your world. I've been to California, so my world is big enough it takes in California. See, I can sit around in, over here in the Carolinas, and I can think about California. Isn't that right? And I've been to Europe, so my world takes in Europe. See, and you know what else? I've been to heaven, and my world takes in heaven. And did you know I can sit together in heavenly places? Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's don't be too quiet. I don't make too much noise. It rolls a little here and there, you know, but every once in a while we need to get excited about this thing. But anyway, there's the world. You've got a world, I've got a world, we've got a world. Let's every one of us enlarge our world. Let's reach out. Let's enlarge our world. Let's find out who our neighbor is and what our neighbor knows about. If I listen to the conversation of my neighbor, then I'll get something good. You don't have to listen to garbage. The Bible said evil communications corrupt good manners. You don't have to listen to that. You can turn it off when you get to that. But folks, there are so many wonderful things that's good that you want to hear about. You want to hear about them. You just don't know that yet because you don't know how wonderful they are. You know, if you've never tasted a banana pudding, you don't know how good it is. But if you ever do get a taste of it, I'll guarantee you, you'll want to go back for another helping. Most people would like to get back and get a little more banana pudding. It's just something about it that they'd like to get a little bit more of it if they ever get it. And you know that's the way it is with this heavenly treasure. The Bible said, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. He that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of this hidden manna. There is some hidden manna, but you've got to overcome. You say, Brother Pike, what is it that I've got to overcome? You've got to overcome self. That's number one. Self is the greatest enemy that you've got. You've got to overcome self. Self is your problem. You've got to overcome self and get self not to be so selfish. Self is so selfish that it doesn't want to hear anything about anybody or anything, especially anything that's contrary to what it wants to be, contrary to what it wants to do. See, self doesn't want to hear anything that's going to cut across self. If it's going to rearrange my life or my lifestyle or make me have a different approach in life, I don't want it. I'd just rather be like I am. That's the way a lot of folks are, you know. I'm not saying I'm like that, but that's the way people can be. So you find that if you overcome, God will give to you to eat of the hidden manna. This wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ, this wonderful hidden mystery, this bread from heaven, if you can overcome yourself, your own characteristics of life, if you can get rid of the resistance in your life that's toward God and toward your fellow man for the betterment of your life, if you can get rid of these things, if you can get rid of passions and lustful desires and the cravings of the things of the world and wanting to conform to the things of the world, if you can get rid of those things, the first news you know, you'll burst out with the joy of God and healing and salvation and health, and you'll find yourself in such a way like you've never been before in all of your life, folks. It'll be thrilling to you, like you'll be thrilled like you never have. You'll begin to get a hold of something that will make you feel bigger than you've ever felt in your life. And my, you'll feel the power of God in your life, and you'll feel a quickening in your life, and you'll begin to know the things about God, and then you'll really get big. I mean, grow big in God. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't know, and because of that, we're so little. We're so sure that we're so big when we're so little that we stay dwarfed all of our life because we refuse to take any nutrients as to growth. Isn't that right? But when you begin to realize the condition you're in and you begin to call on God and let God do a little something for you, all of a sudden you grow, you begin to burst out, you begin to bloom out. Hallelujah. There's a sweet aroma that comes up from you like honeysuckles. That's right, like a springtime morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel good. Don't you feel good? They sing that song, I feel good, good, good. I feel good. Hallelujah. I feel good. I feel good. You know why I feel good? Because I've got faith in God. That's why I feel good. Hallelujah. I feel good because I got faith in God. Have you got faith in God? I genuinely have faith in God. And that faith in God takes away my sickness. It takes away the drab feeling. It causes me to be lifted up in an atmosphere, in a heavenly atmosphere, to where I feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. All right. Now, We didn't gather together tonight to magnify one person and to put down another person, now did we? We got together to magnify Christ and to lift Christ up, to show how great and how mighty He is. Christ, who is our example. And we got together to learn about Christ, that you and I might agree together that though we be human beings and though we be great in the earth, human beings are great, mighty, above animals, above everything that God ever created. But even though we're in this kind of condition, yet, folks, we're here to learn that there is something that's much greater than being a human being. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? Folks, there's something greater than being a human being. There's something greater than being the President of the United States. There's something greater than being a king in this world. There's something greater. There's something greater than being a billionaire in this world. Or some kind of great artist. Isn't that right? There's something greater. You say, Brother Pike, what is it? Being a son of God. How many of you agree that that's greater? To be a son of God, isn't that greater? Let's give God another hand. God said unto as many as believe, to them gave He the power to become sons of God, even to as many as believe on His name. So then God has something greater for you and I. That's good to be a human being. I'm glad to be a human being. I'm glad He didn't make me a monkey. I'm glad I'm a human being. I admire a lion. I see a lion roar. I saw them big black bears today, and I thought them were the prettiest things, you know. They had one up there. I've been trying to see one ever since I've been up here, and I couldn't seem to see one. I got over there where the bears was, and I said, I want to see this, Betty. And Betty said, dance. And that bear went round and round and round. She'd say, dance. And the bear would go round and round. She'd throw him something to eat, and he'd dance again. You know, had good understanding for a bear. Now then, I'm glad that I'm not a bear. I'm glad I'm a human being. This is one of the greatest things I know of, being a human being. But folks, let me tell you something. Just being a human being is not the top of the stack. That's not the top of the ladder. That's not the greatest thing. I am a son of God. I've been born to the Spirit of Christ. And I'm a son of God. And I'm standing here tonight to tell you about this wonderful thing that you can have that'll make you eternal to where you'll never die. They'll never have to put you in the ground. Never throw dirt in your face. Hallelujah. You can bypass the grave. We're living in an age now to where we're coming to what Paul spoke of. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from the mortality to immortality, and from this terrestrial to the celestial. Can you say amen? How many would you like to bypass the grave? Would you like to do that? How many would you like to live forever? Do you want eternal life? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I want eternal life. Well, you can have it tonight. Somebody said, well, I've got eternal life. That's good. You that don't have eternal life, you need to get eternal life. You that do have eternal life, you know what you need to do? Is enlarge in Christ, increase your faith in Christ, and get like Enoch, the one that walked off from this earth right into glory without going down into the grave and having the dirt thrown in the face. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Wouldn't you like to do that? Hallelujah. So then just keep walking along. Like that Indian brother today, he said, I'm 72. I said, that's wonderful. He said, but I'd like to live to be 100. He said, I'd like to live longer than that. He said, I just want to keep moseying on. Just keep moseying on. I just like to keep moseying on. So then tonight, folks, we're here to talk about something that's rich and great. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I just want to say a few more things. Now, if you've got eternal life, then that's good and well. I'm glad. If you don't have eternal life, that's what I'm here for tonight, is to invite you to make the great commitment to God. If you've never made the commitment, then the Bible said, I am persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that great day. If you've never made the great commitment, I want you to make the great commitment tonight. I'm here to win souls. Just take a few minutes to talk with you tonight. I'm here for that purpose. But if you do have eternal life, then I hope that in these few meetings during the time that I'm here, that I can encourage you, enlighten your heart, and make you to realize that there is a way that you can bypass the grave. Do
Do you believe that, folks? Let me see your hands if you believe that. Are you a Bible scholar? God wants you to bypass the grave. God does not want you sick.
How do you believe that?
God does not want you sick. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I believe that. I'm glad I preach that. God doesn't want you sick.
You say, oh my God, Brother Pike, I know you get sick. I get sick. We get sick. But that don't mean a thing. God does not want you sick. It is not God's will for you to be sick. It is not God's will for you to be in poverty. It is not God's will for you to be fearful. It is not God's will for the enemy to walk over you, for Satan to take advantage of you and push you around. Come on, folks. I'm talking about reality. I'm not talking about something foolish, something that I don't believe. I'm not trying to convince you of something I don't know. I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, I know as a surety and understand that God doesn't want you sick. Hallelujah. Are you happy? I'm not sick. Can you tell? I'm not sick. Hallelujah. I'm not sick. Bless God, you might be sick before morning. If I do, I'll be praying between now and morning. Hallelujah. The Bible said if you're afflicted, do some mourning. If you're afflicted, mourn. If you're sick, call together the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on you. Pray for you. Oh, folks, I wish I could explain this tonight. I wished I had a listening audience that would sit all night long like Paul's audience did. I wished I could prove to you tonight these things and bring out in detail and positively fix your faith in such a way that you'd say, my God, Brother Pike, this is true. God doesn't want us sick. How do you feel better than you did? Amen. Must be getting well already. Let me talk to you just a few more minutes, will you? I won't hold you long, just a little bit longer here. So then, you know, when I go to pray for people, when we pray for the sick, and I go to pray for people, I pray for people maybe a little different than some people pray for them. And my thoughts may be a little bit different. Because maybe I understand some things. Maybe they don't understand. And it could be they might understand some things I don't understand. But I understand some things. I got acquainted with Jesus. I've become acquainted with the Lord. And folks, I know His will. I know His will. I didn't know His will for many years. Though I preached, though I prayed, though I read the Bible, though I studied the Bible, though I was sincere with all of my heart, I still didn't know God's will. It was such a great, mysterious thing that I just couldn't understand it. But I said, now God, you've got to make me know your will. And I talked to God like this. I said, Lord, I said, look, I'm going to preach to these people. If I don't know what you want them to be, and if I don't understand what you've got for them, I can't very well preach to them people. Because when I go to say it, my own heart will condemn me. Because I don't really know whether that's right or not. And then I think of it, I say, Lord, look, I'm your preacher. I'm your son, Father. I'm your minister. You know, and I said, I can't go out before them people thinking that maybe I'm a minister and maybe I ain't a minister and maybe I miss my calling or maybe it'll work out or maybe someday I'll discover something and I'll be more convinced. I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I said, I've got to know that I am called of Almighty God, that God who sets yonder in heaven, the great, mighty, heavenly Father that created all the earth and everything therein. I've got to know that you're my heavenly Father. And I've got to know that you said, son, go to Cherokee and tell these people about me. And tell them about my love and my grace and my goodness. You go tell them. I come in, I say, oh my God, I feel so good. I say, why? Because Jesus told me to come here. My heavenly Father said, son, go to Cherokee. When you get to Cherokee, I'll be at Cherokee and we'll stand there together. And you'll be my voice and you tell these people about me. And folks, I'm here because God sent me. I'm here tonight because God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, He sent me here.
And he told me to come, and he told me why to come. And he told me why I was coming. And he told me what it had to do with it. You know what? He told me spiritually what everything had to do with while I was here. I know you might not believe that, but did you know what? Don't run away on me. I know why the Smoky Mountains are here. Come on, folks. How do you know that the mind of God knows why the Smokies are here? See, the mind was what put them here, isn't that right? I know why they're here. I know why they're called the Smoky Mountains and why they smoke. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know the neighboring towns around here. I know why this is called the Cherokees, and I know why the Indians had to be at this place. And I know the places around here, going all the way down, on down to Hennisonville, all down through there, all down along the streams, right on down to the bottomless pit down there. You ever been down there? I know why they're here. I know why they're named, what they're named. And I look at it as a great book. I can take it out and read it and start from the first and put it all together like a puzzle and take every step of it. So help me God, put every step of it together and tell you exactly what it is and why you're living like this. That's the truth, so help me God. Hope God will kill me before I say another three words if that ain't the truth. I can tell you. You know, no, not only that, but I can tell you what America is and what Germany is and what Russia is and what China is. Why they're where they are and why they're called what they are. And I can tell you what the moon is and what the stars is and what the sun is and what the ocean is and the species that's in the world as to the birds and to the animals and the other things. Oh, somebody says, you're crazy, Brother Pye. You know, they said to Paul, said, much learning has made thee mad, Paul. You done got beside yourself. He said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for the Lord. So help me God, these things are true. The wonderful mind of Jesus. What is revelation? What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It is the mind of God unveiled. It is the mind of God revealed. It is the foreknowledge of God, what he knew in his foreknowledge. As from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, I understand it. Somebody said, bless God, if I ever get out of here, I won't never come back. That man is so vainly puffed up, he's talking about knowing all the Bible. All the way. Now let me ask you one question. You read a book, you read it all the way through, don't you know about it? See, that's enough right there, you ought not condemn me. I read the book. Now folks, that's not what it is. I received the mind of God, and from Genesis to Revelation, so help me God, I understand exactly the program of God. I understand the invisible world, what he did before he ever brought this world into existence and why he put this world here. And it was for one thing. Paul said that all the heavenly things or the invisible things of God from the creation of the world should be understood by the things which do appear. I understand what he meant. That all the invisible things of God can be seen by you and by me. And I see them and I look at them. Like a vision I saw, I was standing and looking up into heaven. And I've told this vision many times, and I looked, and the whole heavens was filled with the most beautiful things. I never seen anything like it in my life. And I said, oh, my God, my God. And I was just standing there gazing up into heaven. Of course, I was elevated. I was up between heaven and earth. And I turned around, and I looked, and the whole earth around where I could see was filled with people. And I said to the people, I said, look at what I'm seeing. I said, look at these wonderful things. I said, they're so beautiful. And I turned back around, and then all of a sudden I become aware that they didn't see it. And I turned back around and I looked at them and I thought, well, they don't see it. They're looking at me and they listen to what I say, but they don't see it. But folks, there it was in heaven. Now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God, even to that which is in the heavenly places. How many of you believe that we're sitting in heavenly places tonight? We're sitting here in heavenly places tonight. Where is heavenly places? Heavenly places is in heaven. I ain't going to say any more about that tonight. Because if I do, I know I'm going to ripple the stream for sure. And I ain't going to say anything about that tonight. I'm going to stop right there, but the next night or two, if we're here, the good Lord will, I'm going to say something about it. I just thought I'd get acquainted with you tonight and say a few little things here, because I'm just getting to the place now to where I could really start talking about some things. So I better stop right here.
Because I purpose in my heart, I'm just going to exhort you just a little bit tonight. I want you to stand with me. Will you stand with me? Now remember, people who are made for this world will live in this world. People who are made for this world will live in this world. Fish was made for the sea. So you need not look for them to fly around in the heavens. Isn't that right? Birds was made for the heavens. So don't go looking in the ocean for birds. God has made something for a certain place. He's made certain people for this world. And they'll always be in this world because they are of this world. And they're made for this world. And they're given a worldly mind. So don't get upset because they don't believe what you say. And they don't understand what you say. They're made for a certain world. But there are people, just like certain birds are made for certain heights, other birds can't reach those heights. There are people, their minds are made for that world. And they're programmed, or going to be programmed, for that world. And every age overlaps. Take a long, long time, folks, to be able just to get over a little bit of what I'm saying. But every age overlaps. And in that, with that comes in a new era, a new dimension, a new way of life. In school, you're taught to run things to first power, second power, third power. First dimension, second dimension, third dimension. 1, 2, 3, ABC. And we're programmed with that, and we formulate our thinking with that. And we're able to take 2 and 2, look at it, write it down, we can see it. And the teacher says 2 and 2. And we've got a formula. And we work with 2 and 2 for a little bit. And then after a while, we come up with something that wasn't there. And that's a 4. We find an invisible answer by using a formulated approach. And God has given us the natural world and the physical world. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, to put these together to where we can come up with the angelic world, the invisible. And tonight, though we haven't said anything as to that effect, just a few scattered remarks here and there to try to program your mind or to make you think, or to make you stop and say, well, maybe there is something. Maybe there really is something that we should get a hold of. You know, like Jesus said, if you drink of this water, if you have a taste of this water, you'll never go back to the other. Never. Once you ever get one little taste, the Bible said if you ever find this pearl of great price, you'll sell all that you've got. You'll forget about all of your ambitions in life. This will make a young man and a young woman forget about all their ambitions in life and sell all they've got to go purchase this pearl of great price. You can have it. You can have it. I'm not going to read much scripture tonight. It just says chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that God didn't allow me to pass through this life without it. I'm so grateful that he brought me to the understanding to know that there is such a thing. I never knew there was such a thing. And now I know, and I'm so grateful. I trust that if you're a Bible scholar, whether you are or not, if you are a Christian, then I trust that you'll think this thing over that we spoke of. And give me a chance in a night or two that we're here. Just give me a chance to make mention of the wonderful hidden mysteries of God, just to bring out just a few of them, that you might know that they're there. He that overcometh, overcometh. He that is not too busy in the world doing his own thing, he that can take a little time for God.
I will give unto him to eat of the hidden manna. I want you to lift your hands up with me for just a moment. Close your eyes. I appreciate you coming to be with us. I see our brother Woods, Sister Woods from over in Indiana. They're here with us. Brother Jim Smith down in Georgia. I see that he's with us tonight. Also from just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not sure the areas of whether it's Snailsville or where it's close in there somewhere. I see our brother, sister that's here with us. They were planning to try to come to the meeting, and I see that they're here. He's a very busy man. He's over in a large operation there, but he's here with us. And I see others. Brother Red's a very busy man. He and his sons are very busy. These people probably do from $1 million to $5 million worth of turnover in their operation with a regularity. And they took time off to come here to be in this meeting. Others will be coming. Different ones here. We're so grateful that you're here. We always look forward to our brother, Sister Green, being with us. I think they're from around the Cumberland Mountains. I'm not sure. Others that are here, we're grateful. Some of you I know, some of you I don't know. And we're thankful. Tomorrow morning, over at the Holiday Inn, we have a room reserved there for the ministry. And we'll be looking for you to come over about 10 o'clock in the morning. We've been having these meetings. We had one or two beautiful meetings as of late down in Louisiana, over in Mississippi. And we're having this meeting tomorrow morning. I'd like for you to be there with us. I think you'd really enjoy it. I think it would do something for you. Sometimes you get a chance to say a little something that might encourage somebody to try to bring the ministry together to where we can get into this wonderful thing that's going to translate the church. I'm sure that you that are somewhat spiritual or somewhat Bible scholars, I'm sure that you must understand that the translation of the church is close at hand. Enoch walked with God over 300 years, and then he was not because God took him. Glad to have Pete. I see Pete from over in Houston, Texas. He's here with us. Him and Brother Collins, Brother Steve. Glad to have these people out of Texas. I want you to lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Let's sing this little chorus together while you've got your eyes closed, your hands lifted. Let's sing this little chorus. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today. And come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. While we're gathered together tonight, I wonder, would anybody like to step out tonight, come up and give their heart to the Lord as we take a minute or two? Would you like to have our prayers tonight? Would you like to step out, come up, receive our prayers? And tonight, if you're troubled by unclean spirits, evil spirits, God will drive them out. The Bible said, and he sent his word and healed them. And that he cast out the unclean spirits by his word. And his word is here tonight. God will drive out the unclean spirits. As we sing this verse again, this chorus, if you want to come, you can.
Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing that with me one more time, can you? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, can you sing it with me? In my soul, sing it again with me, folks. Let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the sun shines or the rain falls, I'll be happy. Oh, so happy in my soul. Hallelujah. I feel God. How many of you feel God here tonight? I feel the Lord moving here tonight. As we sing this little chorus together, I want you to step up here to the altar tonight. I want you to come up here, folks. Sing that song again. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. One more time. Just let tomorrow be tomorrow.
I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the sun shines or the rain falls, I'll be happy, oh so happy. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. I feel God. Don't you feel God here tonight? The Lord wants to bless us tonight, folks. Let's give the Lord another hand. Can you do that? Hallelujah.
I believe He deserves it, don't you?
Hallelujah. So God is so good. God is so wonderfully good. He's wanting to love us tonight. He's wanting to help us tonight. Can you lift your hands up with me tonight? Folks, God wants to heal tonight. There's people that need healing tonight. God would like to heal them. God would like to deliver them tonight. If you lift your hands up tonight, God will do something for you. Come on, folks. I feel God. I feel faith here tonight. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. And God wants to bless tonight. God wants to heal tonight. Wouldn't you like to go away whole tonight? Wouldn't you like to go away feeling good tonight in your spirit? Free from evil powers? Not being oppressed? Wouldn't you like to just feel that whatever it might be on the inside just move away? Some kind of sickness, heart trouble, cancer, whatever. Why, it'll just happen that way. It just come across my mind then. How that a girl standing around just like this when we was praying. That girl had swallowed a plastic leaf. We tell this every once in a while. She had swallowed that plastic leaf. And that thing had remained, I believe they said, what was it? How many years? 7 or 12? 12 years. They couldn't pick it up with the x-rays. It had been there 12 years. She went to college and finished college and couldn't hardly breathe all during that time. And that night, I challenged him. I said, believe. I said, the God of Elijah's here. Believe. Believe. I challenge you to believe. And she began to believe, and the people began to believe. And all of a sudden, she spit the leaf up. And she got so much air down in her lungs, it scared her. She thought something happened to her. And the girl received deliverance from it. God's good, isn't He? God is concerned. Have you believe the God of Elijah is here tonight? Hallelujah. We're here tonight because there's a reason, folks. I'm not just here in Cherokee just to be here. There's a spiritual reason for me being here tonight. That means God must have some people in Cherokee somewhere, Brother Woods. There must be somebody here. Somebody must have prayed a prayer. Somebody must have prayed a prayer of faith. Amen. If we're here tonight, somebody had to pray a prayer of faith. That's what caused it. How do you believe that tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord tonight just for a few minutes, folks. Lift your hands up and praise God. God is a spirit and God inhabits the praise of His people. Hallelujah. God wants you to praise Him tonight. Lift your hands up and love Him tonight. Praise God. God's good. Hallelujah. Amen. I want, if you got a minister here, you ministers, come around. Will you do that? The ministers, come around here just a few minutes. Get up here with me. Let's pray for these people. Let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, the sunshine. I'll be happy. Oh, so happy. Sing it again. Oh, let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. If the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul. One more time now. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the sun shines, rain falls, I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul. Can you let tomorrow I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory to God. Somebody lift up your hand and praise God tonight, folks. I feel the blessing of God here. Don't you feel God? Come on, worship the Lord with me. Worship the Lord. The Bible said rejoice with them that rejoice. Let's rejoice tonight. Let's lift up our hands tonight. Come on, folks. The Bible said I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Let's lift those hands up to God tonight. See, that reminds God of those nail prints. Hallelujah. I feel God. Don't you feel God tonight? Come on, folks. Let's give God another hand tonight. Can you do that? Somebody say praise the Lord tonight. Lift your hands back up and love Him tonight. Come on, let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. While you're praising God tonight, just keep praising God here. While you're praising God tonight, being the first night of the meeting, I want to pray with you tonight, and I want to get these ministers to pray with you. Just lift your hands up with me, will you? Hallelujah. Use your faith tonight. You might say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not sick tonight. Well, there's other people that are sick. There's other people that need healing tonight. There's other people that need your faith tonight. Stand in the gap for somebody else. Come on, folks. Come on, lift your hands up, folks. Say praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you want to slip up here, if you want us to lay hands on you, slip up close by. I'll get these ministers to pray with me tonight. Lay hands on you. We usually wait a night or two before we get around to this, but it isn't all that late tonight. Maybe you need prayer tonight. Step up here close. Hallelujah. Glory. I feel the Holy Ghost, brother.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible said as Peter spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And I can begin to feel the Holy Ghost moving here. I can begin to feel the Holy Ghost falling on some people. If anybody out there feels the Holy Ghost, raise your hand. See, I can tell He's out there. Hallelujah. You can tell it. Glory to God. Praise God. Just lift your hands up now. And we're going to lay hands on a few of you here while we're praying. And God's going to heal you. How do you know God's going to heal you? Hallelujah. Let's pray here, brethren, together. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord, heal this body. Father, heal this body. Glory to God. Enlarge this faith tonight. Move this faith tonight, Father. If there's any hindrance, move it. Save the soul, forgive sin. And oh God, make these people, Lord, to have a praise in their heart for You tonight. Heal this person in the name of Jesus. Father, by the great Spirit of Your Son Jesus, mighty Father, glorify Thy name tonight and heal tonight. May the Spirit of God be here to heal, Father. Father, heal these people. Father, heal these people as we lay hands on them tonight. Touch them tonight. Let the glory of God be here. Let the blessings of the Lord be here. Bring the illumination of God to these people. Father, heal them. Help them to receive their healing tonight. God, help them to know that You've done this for them, Father. Oh, God, heal these people. Make them well tonight. Touch the little ones tonight in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, may Your Spirit be upon these people. May their faith look to the invisible world tonight. Hallelujah. Right in Jesus. Heal tonight in the name of Jesus. Touch these little ones in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, healed. May Your Spirit move tonight. May the power of God come. Heal and fill with Your Spirit. Grant Your blessing tonight. God, may the power of God come upon this brother tonight. Heal him. Heal this mother. God, may Your Spirit be upon her tonight. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch these little ones. In the name of Jesus. God, as I lay hands on them. Father, heal Sam tonight. May the great power of God move in this life. In the name of Jesus tonight, Father, touch this body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Name of Jesus tonight. Father, may the power of God move upon this body tonight. Right it. Hallelujah. Jesus' wonderful name tonight. Touch these little ones. Hallelujah. Touch them in Jesus' name tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we lay hand, hold on them tonight, Father, for your sake, Jesus, heal. Touch Brother Atlee. Give him strength in the name of Jesus. Father, touch Michael tonight. Do something special for Mike tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon him. Dear God, touch our brother tonight. May the power of God be here. Father, heal. Break the yoke, Jesus. I can tell that you're doing something for these people tonight. Oh, God, heal. Deliver. In the name of Jesus tonight. Touch these little ones in the wonderful name of Jesus. May your Spirit be upon them tonight, Father. God, touch this sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, may the power of God be here to heal tonight. Heal in Jesus' name. Father, touch these people in the name of Jesus. May your Spirit heal tonight. Oh, God, touch them in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. God, may they be blessed to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, touch this sister tonight. I want you to touch her in the name of Jesus. May your Spirit come upon her tonight. May these people be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Father, filled with the power of God. Oh, grant it tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glory to God, I can feel God touching these tonight. He'll touch these little ones in Jesus' name tonight, Father. May the Spirit of God be upon these people tonight. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Come on, folks. Praise the Lord. Let's give God another hand, can you? Let's praise God tonight. God isn't through tonight. God wants to bless you tonight. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and love the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up to God tonight? Do you believe tonight? Do you believe tonight? The Bible said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Glory to God. I feel God, Brother Red. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Glory to God. Let's sing another little chorus, can we? Sing this chorus again. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Come on, folks. Can you sing it? Do you feel God here tonight? Do you feel God here tonight? For my rest, duty is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. One more time. For I have anchored my soul in God's heaven. I'll rest and I'll sail the wild seas. No more the others that want to be prayed for. Come right around. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again. For I have anchored my soul in God's heaven. I'll rest and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Hallelujah. Do you feel the Holy Ghost here tonight? I feel God here tonight. I feel God. I'm going to take just a few more minutes and I'm going to let you go, but I feel God here tonight. You know what? Before I came in tonight, I felt God. When I walked up on the platform right here, the anointing of the Holy Ghost came upon me. I stood right here speaking in tongues,
praising the Lord. I'm talking about real, genuine Holy Ghost, not some kind of make-believe or something that you manufacture. But I'm talking about God Himself, Almighty God, being here tonight. See, God is here tonight. And when God is here for a purpose. God is wanting to do something. And so then God is here with us tonight. It's the first night of the meeting. God is here. And I felt Him. And folks, you've been a good audience. A good audience. But you didn't let your faith go out to God. You didn't turn your faith loose to God. Don't you know that Brother Pike knows? If I come up here, if I'm acquainted with the Master enough to know He's here and what He's saying, then I'm acquainted with Him enough to know that you didn't let your faith go out to God tonight. That God wanted to bless. You know what we do? We say, well, this is the first night. On the second round, we'll get it. But maybe God wants to get it on the first round. He might not want to be. Wait until the second round. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel God, don't you? Hallelujah. These others that are standing here tonight to be prayed for, I want to pray for them. I want you to lift your hands up. There's a reason that they come to the altar. They want something from God. You might say, well, they're not sick, Brother Pike. Maybe they're not. I don't know. You know, unless the Lord showed them one way or another, I don't know whether they are or not. A lot of times when I'm praying for them, especially on the tent, the Lord will show me something, maybe give me a word for them. A lot of times when faith is right, the anointing's right, everything's moving just right. See, but this I do know. They come for some reason. And if it's to be strengthened in God or to get a greater vision, or maybe some little something is happening in one's life, and they're trying to repent, and they're trying to get their lives straightened out, and they're trying to get reconciled so their faith will work. A lot of times people come to a place to where they feel that they're missing out on the great things of God because of just a little condemnation in their life. I see some people here that are very busy people. Brother Woods is a very busy man. Indiana, he has to lay aside his job to come over here. Very busy, dependable man. Been with this, the Ford Corporation there for years. Brother Raymond over here. Brother Raymond is over the entire hospital there in the state of Georgia in the little town called Monroe. Very busy man, but he's here. Others that I see, men that are here, they took time to come to this meeting tonight. See, and Jim's a businessman, and he took time off from his business to be here with us tonight. So, let's pray just for a few minutes. Lift your hands up, folks. Lift your hands up. While they come back up here and pray with us, the ministers come back here to pray with us just for a few minutes. Pray with us, these others. They've got reasons for being here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we know the work was finished at Calvary, and it's a matter of us accepting it. May the faith of God move. May the faith move tonight. Oh God. Lord, let the faith of God be in these hearts tonight. Move.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I feel the yoke being broke, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
The name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
By your Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
By your power. In the name of Jesus, Father, tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
God, I feel your anointing. Heal tonight. Oh, God. May the yoke be broken. Heal. Oh, God. While I feel that anointing, Father, heal. Heal, oh God. Break the yokes. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of God. I feel the anointing of God. Hallelujah. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. One more time. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord, can you? Close your eyes, lift your hands up one more time with us. Every promise in the book is mine. Now tonight, I would like to have seen the faith of the people really turned loose tonight. But we're here, we're worshiping the Lord. Just worshiping the Lord. Sometimes it takes about two or three nights to break loose and get people moving in the Spirit. Kind of get them out of the routine of life. Most of the time when a revival comes, there's so much condemnation that wells up in the hearts of the people from lack of prayer and seeking God until you have to kind of get them in the Spirit and get them moving in the Spirit before you really have a meeting. But we've worshiped the Lord a little bit tonight, and if the faith had turned loose, I feel like we would have got a double helping tonight, because I felt it when I come up on the platform. But nevertheless, we're thankful for you being here. We're going to be here tomorrow night, the good Lord's will. We're going to be at the breakfast tomorrow morning about 10 o'clock. And I'm looking for a good time over there. And I'm looking for a good time back out here tomorrow night. So if you've not made any plans for anything else, then make plans to be with us. I'll be looking forward to you being here tomorrow night. And I'll be talking to the Lord Jesus about you tonight. I'll be talking to the Lord Jesus about you tomorrow. Because I believe in spending time with God and talking to God about the situation. And if you're interested in another world, and you're interested in going to heaven, and you're interested in having eternal life, and you're interested in the mysteries of Christ, and the healing and deliverance and the power of God, even in this life, and His guidance and direction for you in this present world, as to find the best in this life, then I'll be praying for you, and you can come and be with us if you are. You can meditate in these things and think on these things if you are, because God's got something good for you. But folks, let me tell you in closing out here tonight, if you don't have time for God, and you're so busy with the natural things that you're going to stay natural-minded, and you're never going to be spiritual, and you're not going to move in on the spiritual things, and you're going to try to mix darkness with light and just do the things of the world, that's what you want. He'll give it to you. He won't let you mix the darkness with the light. But He'll give you the darkness. He'll give you that intellectual darkness. And He'll let you be a creature of bondage in it for the rest of your life. He'll let you have it if that's what you want. But if you want to take a little time for Jesus, if you want to turn the corner for Jesus, if you want to get away from routine of life, whatever it might be, and take a little time to get into the wonderful world of God. I'm talking about the wonderful world of God. Hallelujah. Not the world of tomorrow. I'm talking about the world of today. The wonderful world of God. I'm in it. I've been in it. I've seen it. I know what it is. I live there. And there is nothing in this entire world that has any comparison. Not anything. As a matter of fact, they're so beautiful that when Paul looked at them and then came back to these things, he called these the beggarly elements of the world by which you're taken in bondage. If you desire again to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, I can understand it. But if you want to be in the wonderful world of God, put God first. He won't take anything from you in this life if it's the right thing. If it's a good thing, every good and perfect gift He'll give you. If you'll seek God first, He'll give you the desires of your heart, even in this world. Health, happiness, understanding, wealth, blessing. The blessing of the Lord maketh the rich and hath no sorrow. But if you get your mind on those things and you put those things before God, then you'll be in a trap. You'll be in a bondage. These things will weave a web around you. And you'll find out that it's a very, very sorrowful, heartbreaking life and a heartbreaking experience.
down through life. So don't do that. Don't do that. Let's put God first, and then let God be behind you, and let God add all of these things. All of these things will be added unto you. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. All right. Everybody ain't going to go with you on this ship. They ain't going to go with you. They're not going to go with you. Not everybody. But can't help that. We still got to go. Still got to go. All right, let's lift our hands up again, folks. While you've got your eyes closed, your hands lifted up tonight, I want to say that I appreciate the opportunity to come here and minister to you, talk to you about the lovely things of God, and we'll be back tomorrow night, the good Lord willing. We'll be back to talk to you some more about these things. I'm going to ask our brother, Steve, over here to dismiss us in prayer. Will you do it, Steve?